And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU-FM. And it's that time of year again. Winter has hit us pretty hard. It's actually hit me pretty hard. And I know people are thinking about travel. Well, we're actually lucky enough today to have Dave Thomas with us. He's been the national coordinator for the Che Guevara Volunteer Work Brigade in Cuba, and he's currently chair of the Canadian-Cuban Friendship Association of Niagara. Welcome to the program today, Dave.
Thank you, Brendan.
Yes, I know you have a lot of experience with these tours. You've coordinated them from the Canadian perspective. You've seen how they're all organized and structured. I guess one of the centerpieces of this whole thing is this Che Guevara Volunteer Work Brigade. This is a less conventional, hands-on way to experience Cuba, I guess. What's the whole work component of this thing?
It can vary from construction to agriculture. Usually it's agriculture. It's a little bit easier to arrange, and there's always a need there in Cuba.
Yes, I was actually on one of these tours in 2007, and we ended up we're working with these other brigadistas, as they're called, just members of the brigade tour, and they put us on agriculture. We were looking at just how things are done in Cuba or parts of Cuba in terms of planting and crop harvesting, things like that, irrigation. At one point, I think we were preparing certain things to be planted. So we were getting the soil ready, digging it a little bit, positioning the plant and the crops. Then a tractor would come and dig a hole for us. That made things a lot easier, I can tell you. Without that, we would have been doing some manual digging. We came to appreciate the value of farm equipment. Where I was, it wasn't too far from where this tour is hosted. That's at some kind of camp.
The Julio Antonio Milla International Camp.
Yeah, that's right. And that tends to be where this is featured.
Yes.
Yeah, last 5, 6, 7 years and beyond, it's been at that location.
It's about 40 minutes west of Havana.
Yeah, that's right, because it always visits Havana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There where I was, I saw it was sort of this reddish-brown soil. Mm-hmm. We were put together with South Koreans and maybe some Brazilians working on that. I know there's other projects there that have involved constructing buildings, putting things together with concrete. It wasn't backbreaking labor, but we got to see a little bit about how things were done, and we got to work with the people from other parts of the world at that tour. I guess that's a large part of what that's about, right? It's about meeting just interesting people from around the world.
Oh, it certainly is. And the first part of our tour is going to be, we'll be staying at the international camp, and the international brigades will be hosted at the same time. So we'll be living, working, and eating with people from up to 30 different countries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the whole work component, what's the purpose behind including that as part of learning about Cuba and Che Guevara and those other things?
Well, I think there's a lot to be gained, by people working together. It sort of, builds a sense of community and solidarity, and a sense of purpose. And people really seem to enjoy that and adapt to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know my brother and I, we came and we were a bit groggy when we arrived in Cuba because we came through Mexican airport and we ended up sleeping on the floor because of bad arrangements. So mm-hmm. We weren't feeling so great, and we got woken up to participate in the work thing. But it wasn't so bad, and we quickly adjusted to it and had a lot of fun, actually, and it was memorable. We took a lot of photos. And I mean, that's one component of experiencing Cuba, as you say, and meeting people. And I guess a large part of it is learning about the history and sites of interest, and this is the Che Guevara Volunteer Work Brigade. So we are learning about Che because he's a very popular figure all over the world. We were there at the 40th anniversary of his death, and so there was a heightened element of looking at Che and his life at that tour. But every year it focuses on Che Guevara. So what are some of the things people can do to learn about Che on this tour?
Well, one of the things we're going to be doing is visiting the mausoleum at Revolution Square in the city of Santa Clara in central Cuba. And there, there's a museum to Che, and on one part of the museum is the mausoleum where 30 of Che's Bolivian brigade have been. The remains have been located and repatriated back to Cuba, and then interned in this mausoleum.
You were present for when they came back, weren't you?
I was. I happened to be, I took my motorcycle down to Cuba in 1997. I stayed there a year riding all over the island. And that was at the time when Che's remains came back to Cuba and six others of his brigade members. And, of course, they were laid in state in Havana, and then they went through a little, like a procession through different towns and villages on the way to Santa Clara. And I took a bus up to Santa Clara to be at the internment ceremony.
Mm. How did you feel about that?
Well, it felt like being a part of history, you know, because it was all of these, you know, different veterans of conflicts, you know, like the Revolutionary War in the mountains and so forth. And of course, Santa Clara is a city where Batista was defeated, where the Revolutionary Army cut the island in half and Batista fled from the same airport where he launched his coup years ago.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of history on that island in the last 50 or 60 years. Mm-hmm. That's what people are coming from around the world to see. I know when I was there in 2007, we saw the ceremony in the 40th anniversary memorial, and it was very large. There was a band, a military salute, and it was at the very large and impressive statue at the plaza there. Certainly that was very memorable, and people were talking about it for years afterwards. You know, you meet people mm-hmm. from the tour on Facebook, and they're all posting photos and talking about it, and they want to go back, and some of them did go back. I've been a bit too busy to go back, but this is what people want to see. They want to see this history, and I guess they're getting shuttled about on this tour. So you mentioned Santa Clara and the fact that the camp where the tour comes from is about 40 minutes from Havana. So where are some of the places that they're typically ferried and shown around at?
Yes, well, we will be going into Havana for Havana's big May Day parade, mm-hmm. Which is a wonderful experience in itself. They'll wake us up about 4 o'clock in the morning, hand us a sandwich and a drink. We get on the bus and go into Havana in the dark, and then we're positioned in the international viewing area where they have chairs and everything for us. And we sit up there and watch the sunrise over Revolution Square and see all the preparations for the beginning of the parade, and then the parade starts just before 8 o'clock. And it takes about an hour and three quarters, and for just masses of people to parade by us.
Wow, there's a couple of things there. I mean, first of all, I was not part of that. I wasn't present for a May Day celebration. So even for people that have gone on this thing, it would be worthwhile to go back to see.
Oh, I think you better start arranging your holiday time right now so you can join us.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that yet. There's quite an interesting and hilarious culture to these tours because, I mean, you mentioned getting woken up at 4 a.m. to go to that particular event. Mm-hmm. I know we were getting woken up at about 6:45 a.m. On many days because mm-hmm. that's when you got to get to the fields if there's work happening on about one-third of the time. And, I mean, we were angry about it at first getting woken up. But it turned out to be pretty funny because, I mean, they would play very, very good songs, actually, frequently on these loudspeakers to wake us up. And after the tour was over, everyone remembered the songs and they wanted to get a hold of them, and I went on the internet and found some of them, and we distributed them. But that turned out to be very interesting. So it's a very unique experience. That's what it's all about, because people, they want to see Cuba, and you make it easy for them. Because I think if you're going to go to see the May Day parade and you're going to go to Santa Clara and see Che's birthplace mm-hmm. or his friends or the people that he fought together with and the museums and the other sites, if you're trying to arrange that on your own, it would be a kind of like a headache, I think. But I mean, this takes you to a variety of sites.
It's not possible. It's not possible to arrange it on your own, because everybody that goes on the brigade, their passports go down to Cuba previously so that they security can check them over. So a tourist would not get that opportunity to just say, I want to go here. You know, it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of Che-specific events regarding Che Guevara's life. And I mean, it would be hard to get to that on your own. You got to be part of the tour. So it's to experience those particular things. And it, you know, that's little things that people take for granted. We were running late coming into Cuba, and we landed at the airport, and we had to get into contact by phone with the people arranging the tour. And we had to wait at the airport. And it was a bit confusing because we didn't speak Spanish, and it was this foreign airport. But if you just arrange it through that tour, they're going to shuttle you from the airport. They'll get you to the camp. They got everything all arranged for you.
Oh, yes. Yes, the bus will be there waiting, and the people from the Cuban Friendship Association are waiting for us and get a nice big welcome and then go loaded on the air-conditioned bus and go out to the camp.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's get to the meat and bones, and I mean the cost. I'm kidding, but how much does this tour cost roughly?
Well, if you go on the Canadian Network on cuba.ca website and click on the brigade link, all the costs and that are known at this moment are there. And it's a very economical program. When you look at the program and see all the activities that are taking place, you know, 3 and 4 activities every day. You know, when you include the work component in the mornings. So they're looking at the land costs are going to be approximately between $1,000 and $1,100. Right now, the brigade organizers are waiting for the land costs to receive the land costs from Cuba so that they can set the price. And then plus airfare. And airfare for people that book early is going to run around $600 from Toronto.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No.
And the tour itself, with all those things that are included, I mean, it often stops at resorts, too, for a little hotel stay.
Yes. There is a beach day, and we do stay in hotels for about two-thirds of the time. Mm-hmm. 1 week in the camp. And the camp is a wonderful experience, you know, when you talk about getting up in the morning. Well, they play a rooster crowing in the morning. So that's how you know it's time to get up, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, when you have the international brigades and they have the international night where all the people from different countries set up a table with some of their national drinks and food and different things. And, of course, we in Canada, you know, we've got our rye whiskey and we've got our different Canadian wines from B.C. and from Niagara and New Brunswick. We get flag pins from our Member of Parliament and our provincial legislators and our local cities will give us little pins and people come and pick them up, try the maple syrup, have a shot of the whiskey, and it's just a wonderful time.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a way to have a different experience, not a conventional vacation experience, but to see aspects of Cuba that would be difficult or impossible
to
arrange.
Well, this is very important. You know, when people look at the program, it's very busy. And what we do not want are tourists, the people that think they will join the brigade and then they don't have the interest to stay with the program for the entire time. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we do not want because this is a highly subsidized tour, subsidized by Cuba, you know, to increase people's knowledge of their countries and to build friendship between Cuba and Canada in our case.
Yeah, so it's not your conventional tourist experience. It's educational. It's about learning and hands-on activities and
yes.
that sort of thing.
Yes. So if you want to be a tourist and do your own thing, then this is not the program for you.
No, there are other options. We can look at that. I just got to say, it was an intense experience, and you know, you compressed a good month or so of activities within about 2 weeks or so. You know, I was a little concerned because the tour was partly subsidized by the Cuban government. That I mean, they might just try to show you a size of Cuba that they would want to show, and things that would perhaps not be representative of the country. But when I was at the tour, they showed us a pharmacy. They showed us some other things in a mountain town to show how they were trying to encourage rural development.
Yeah.
I visited other places in Cuba, and it seemed that, you know, the pharmacies were very similar to what we had been shown tour, medical facilities. So basically, I would say it's probably fairly representative of the rest of the country.
It is. I've been down in Cuba on my own, and I've been on the tours, and what they do show you is representative of the country and what they're trying to do. We even, two years ago, we were on a construction site, and one third of the workers on that construction site was prison labor. And we got to talk to the workers. There was no identification. You couldn't tell that they were prisoners. They were getting the same pay as anybody else for the same class of work. It was just a very interesting program to see what they were doing as far as trying to rehabilitate people that had made some mistakes in their life.
Well, we were able to talk to anyone, and we had some pretty interesting conversations in English and in Spanish with people that were with us that spoke Spanish. To get the most of it, to see what Cubans feel about various things, you really should come there with some knowledge of Spanish so that you can get the real scoop. We did our best, but we had very limited command of the language.
It helps. I'm not a Spanish speaker myself, and I lived down there for a year and a half without Spanish. There's many, many people in Cuba that speak some English. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can get by easily without Spanish.
Well, where I was traveling first in that tour area and then on our own throughout South Cuba, people were accommodating. And, I mean, they could have been a lot meaner to us. They were very nice. Maybe we were lucky, but, they were friendly and helpful. And we tried to talk about all people's interests and their favorite things. And
sure.
We learned a lot. It was great. And that's the other thing, too, because there's the other tours that people can take. And you said some people are more conventionally vacation-minded and they just want to come there and relax or see interesting sights quietly. What other tour options are available for people that just want to do the vacation route?
Well, there's many for vacations. There's tours, you know, for people that are interested in the arts, tours for people that are interested in sports. They even have a farmer-to-farmer tour. There's worker-to-worker tours that go also around the May Day, May 1st time. So they get union members from different countries to interact with Cuban union members. And, you know, most Cuban workers are unionized, which is something not too many people know. So there's just so many things. And if people love the arts, if you like ballet, if you like opera, you can't do better than go to Cuba.
Well, the art scene is spectacular, and there's really no comparison. Can't find what you see in Cuba anywhere else. We were looking at Havana, and we were looking in Santiago de Cuba, the larger cities, and even Bayamo to some extent. But in the larger cities, what's on display at flea markets or at special art shows or just meeting artists, which we also did, it's unbelievable, the quality, uniqueness, creativity of the art. We took a trip to an art school as part of that tour as well, so we saw that additionally. But there's no shortage of art production or cultural production in Cuba. It goes from all ages, it seems, and every different kind, from music to visual art to expression, paintings, sculptures, carvings. We came back fully loaded with sculptures and things like that. That's definitely, for anyone who's art-minded, I mean, the scene there is unbelievable. Depends on the time of year, too, because there's different festivals, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's just something you can do on your own when you're traveling to the cities. And as you said, there's those themed tours as well. There's, like, the environmental tour and as you said, the labor tour.
Environmental tours, you know, fishing, hunting,
I think we saw a little hunting expedition when we were driving by. Because you can rent cars and stuff and jeeps.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay when you're traveling around Cuba. They use that CUC, right? The convertible currency.
Yes, Cuban convertible. Yes, CUC.
So basically, if you're from outside, you're going to take your Canadian or maybe U.S. dollars if they accept it.
Don't take U.S. dollars. If you're taking cash, take Canadian dollars. And convert them at the airport or your earliest opportunity at a bank or kind of an informal bank called a Cadeca.
Okay, Kadeka. Yeah, people can look that up in the guidebooks, and they'll be informed about that. You can use those CUCs pretty freely throughout Cuba.
Yes.
They're accepted in a wide variety of locations, even for the street pizza, I think.
Yes, you can buy almost anything with them.
Yeah, I think it was about $2, two CUCs.
Yeah,
I mean, because I know we were going into the towns even as part of the tour, and you might want to pick up something of interest, and you can use those CUCs and check out the convenience store, see what kind of items they've got for sale. That was interesting in itself, and I took a lot of photos of the stores. You know, I mean, that's something we talked about on the tour with people, and it was a wide range of people that we met. Again, I know we met people from Brazil, from South Korea, from Chile. There were a number of other Canadians. In fact, how many people come down from Canada every year?
Well, there's over a million visitors of all types, Canadian visitors of all types to Cuba every year now.
that's
phenomenal.
Almost one-tenth of Cuba's population just coming from Canada, traveling.
Yeah.
And on the brigade itself, is there a range of people like 30, 40, 50, 60 a year, something like that?
Yeah, the last 2 years, the brigades have been rather large, 45 in 2012 and 43 in 2013.
Popular, it's catching
and,
on.
And they come from all across Canada, which is another great thing because you get to meet Canadians from places you never think of.
Yes, well, we are a very wide country.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the thing. I guess anyone can go to this thing. It's like all ages, I guess.
Well, yes, we've had people, you know, from teenagers. Last year we had a young girl, 15 years old, and our oldest brigadista was a woman, 82 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they both enjoyed themselves. Even in the 82-year-old took part in the work brigade. The cooperative was kind enough to divide the work up into that for more active people, which was pulling weeds and that sort of thing. And the rest of us, which we dubbed the geriatric brigade, we sorted out bins of mangoes, big ones from small ones and bad ones from good ones.
Yeah, that reminds me. At the brigade, I mean, at that camp, Julio Antonio Mela, they grow a number of fruits and vegetables.
That's right, yes.
I think
yes.
They had guava fruits there.
Yes, they have a number of crops there.
Because
yes.
you're basically what they call eating local sometimes there.
Oh, well, that's pretty well what you do in Cuba. They try and produce as much of their own food as they can. They do import some things, like you'll find a lot of the beans that they're eating. Cubans eat a lot of beans. A lot of them come from Canada. A lot of the rice comes from overseas. A lot of the meat is imported.
In the tour itself, it covers the meals, right?
Similar. Yes, yes. You don't have to pay all your accommodation, all your transportation, all your admissions, your guiding, food, everything is all included.
It is a good deal, and we found that we were at least at the camp and in some other locations eating very much what ordinary Cubans were eating. So it was interesting to see I mean, there's a lot of rice, certainly.
Yes.
And there's a lot of pork. That's something we got to warn people about if you're a vegetarian.
Yes, yes, yes. They, of course, a vegetarian meal will be just the same as everybody else, less the pork.
Yeah. Yes, pork is a cheaper meat. Pigs are abundant in Cuba, and so we did find ourselves eating a little more pork than we wanted to, but we were very interested in the local crops. And the guava was excellent. It actually helped us get better after our bad flight. We were kind of ill. But the guava fruit that was harvested right there was excellent, and it made me sort of want it coming back in Canada. And there's other interesting fruits and vegetables, plantains, you know, those things.
Mm-hmm.
You can see some of the plantations if you're driving by on your own.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's been more than 5 years since I've been to Cuba now. When I was there, Fidel Castro was still the head of state. I guess that it's changed now, and I know there's transitions in the government. We were actually there during a period of some elections. CDRs were organizing elections.
Yes.
That's the Committee for the Defense of the Revolution. Are you going to be seeing any of those on the upcoming tour?
Yes, yes. Every tour, they have a neighborhood party. And what they do is the Cuban Friendship Association or organization in Cuba gets one of the better functioning CDRs to put on a little bit of a welcoming for us. And that's where we get to come and interact with people at, you know, in their own neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they put on a bit of a spread for us, and, you know, we maybe bring them a little gift or something like that.
Well, that could be interesting for the upcoming tour. When I was there, we didn't spend much time at a CDR because we were busy with all the Che Anniversaries things.
Yes.
So, but maybe the people can spend more time there in the 2014.
Yes. Yes, they you know, they explain the function of the CDR, Committee for the Defense of the Revolution. They're like a community organization. They're not just looking for spies, you know. They look after their community.
Yeah, that's the context we were shown. It's an interesting Cuban innovation, and people can check that out. I guess Fidel's not the head of state anymore. There have been talks of reforms. I'm not sure how easy it is for a traveler to see if there's been any change in Cuba. If you're someone who's been visiting off and on every few years, is anything noticeably different now compared to 5 or 6 years ago?
Oh, well, the last time I was there was with the brigade in April and May, and I didn't notice any significant change, no.
Okay. I know one of the things I did see was there was a lot of billboards of Hugo Chavez in Cuba. He was a very popular figure. Even when we spoke with people just generally, they were very happy because of the oil arrangement and so on.
Mm-hmm.
He had helped
mm-hmm.
make life easier for Cubans. Is there still billboards about Chavez or about Venezuela?
Oh, yes, there are. And, you know, this thing about, you know, Venezuela backing Cuba, well, I would say it's more Cuba backs Venezuela because they're giving Venezuela something they can't produce themselves immediately, and that's health care.
Yes, that's right. And Cuban doctors, medical students, the whole training program, that's something they show you in the tour as well. You usually get to meet with some medical students.
Yes, and often the tour goes to the the Latin American School of Medicine. And that's where they have students from all over the world coming there on full scholarship to study medicine, including over 100 Americans are studying there.
Yeah, it's worth seeing because you read about this medical training program for all these people across the Americas, but, you know, mm-hmm. you can actually go see it, see a graduation ceremony or see these people at work, mm-hmm. at study. That's interesting. And I certainly a glimpse of that. I guess the only other thing that to follow up on would be when we were there, they were talking about the Cuban Five. We were given a presentation about that way back in 2007. They had been tracking, those are the five Cuban, they're intelligence agents, right? They were tracking Miami-based terrorists.
Yes, they were. And they were there out of necessity because really, you know, anybody that's... any terrorists that are acting against Cuba are sort of accommodated in the United States with a nudge and a wink. So Cuba has had had one airliner brought down in 1976 when two terrorists filled toothpaste tubes with C4 plastic explosives, planted one in the seat where they were sitting and the other one in a rear washroom. The flight originated in Caracas. They got off the plane in Barbados. The plane took off, and 10 minutes out of Barbados, the one bomb went off in the seat. The plane radioed Mayday, turned around to the airport, and was partway back within sight of the beach, and the rear washroom bomb went off, and it just fell into the water in front of the tourists on the beach. And that, nobody was ever prosecuted. The man that organized that, one died a natural death. The other one, Posada Carriles, is free in Florida right now, living freely in Florida. So all of these things, and many, many others, you know, terrorists coming and landing in a fishing village and shooting up the town in the middle of the night, firing the ship's cannon off of a U.S. Coast Guard vessel that had been bought by this terrorist organization, fired the ship's cannon on the village for 2.5 hours. you know, and, you know, they did hit some people randomly, but it was, you know, terrifying. So all of that thing goes on and on and on. Hundreds of terrorist attacks on Cuba. None are prosecuted. And so that's why the Cubans sent these five to the United States to infiltrate these organizations and help warn of these attacks.
Mm-hmm. And it's those guys that get arrested.
That's right. Now, they got arrested because the Cubans took all the information that they had gathered on these terrorist organizations, contacted the United States, who sent the FBI over to Havana to collect the information. The Cubans handed it over in good faith, and when the FBI got back to the United States, they used that information to identify and arrest the Cubans that were were infiltrating the terrorists.
Well, if you ever watch Latin American TV, Telesur, or just any sort of political discussions, there's a high awareness of it in South America of this whole story, less so in North America. So that's one of the reasons that they tell you about it on the tour. Has there been any progress on trying to get these people out of jail since I last heard about it?
Well, one of them has served his full sentence and was serving his probation in Florida. And he has since been allowed to go home to Cuba because he had renounced they said he could go home if he would renounce his American citizenship, which he did. Mm-hmm. So he will be at the ninth colloquium on the five in Holguín, Cuba, starting on November 13th and running to the 17th.
Okay, well, I hope that's a precedent. I hope the rest of them can go home. It's been a pressing issue. Every Cuban household knows about it by now.
Well, their incarceration has been just horrible. They've been kept in solitary confinement for many, many months, even maybe over a year for some of them. Mm-hmm. And they still haven't broken.
As I said, it's an island with a lot of history. There's been so much interesting events. In terms of the revolution itself, I photographed a Molotov cocktail in the museum there. It was Canada Dry. Funny. Their history has always been slightly tied up with Canada as well, and I'm sure the tour is going to be interesting in 2014. So where can people get information about this tour if they want to sign up for the upcoming one or the next one after that?
Well, if they go to the Canadian Network on Cuba.ca. Click on the Che Guevara Brigade link on the front page. That will take them to the brigade website.
Okay, that's Canadian Network on Cuba.ca?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's pretty straightforward. All right, well, Dave, thanks very much. You got lots going on in your life. I'm glad you could give us a half hour to talk about these things. We'll give people the website and put it online there for them. And, hopefully you continue to get more new and excited people coming out to these tours.
I appreciate your interest.
Thanks, Dave.